This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next up, it's a Plains FM feature interview, keeping you in touch with the people and events happening in our Canterbury community.
Hello, and welcome to another Plains FM featured interview. Today, we featured the show My Fair Lady and its latest theater version brought to us by Showbiz Christchurch. My Fair Lady is a musical by Alan J. Lerner and music by Frederick Lowe. Its origins can be traced down to a 1913 play called Pygmalion by Irish George Bernard Shaw. It follows Eliza Doolittle, a Cockney flower girl who takes speech lessons from phonetics professor Henry Higgins so that she may pass as a lady. The musical has had a very successful life with its 1956 Broadway production and its subsequent hit London production, both starring Julie Andrews and Rex Higgin, and its later film version starring Audrey Hepburn and Rex Harrison. Joining me in the studio today are Showbiz performers Emily Burns and Michael Lee Porter. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
We are, on a Monday morning.
So first of all, thank you very much for being here on a Monday morning. Congratulations on the show. Always amazing, beautiful stuff, what you would expect from a Showbiz production. I really enjoyed the great show. I have a lot of things to say about it, but I'm going to leave them for now to see if maybe we delve into some of them in this interview now. So yeah, the show is absolutely amazing. Of course, we know that this musical has been put on many times before. This one right now in Christchurch, made by Showbiz, by you guys, it was absolutely astounding. You guys have had, I believe, two, three performances already? It's been four performances already. Yeah. Well, with the Thursday one, right? The 21st one?
Thursday, Friday, yeah, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, it's five altogether. Four plus a preview, yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's
more than we think, yeah.
So those ones already down, and a lot of them to come. What feedback have you guys had so far from the show?
It's quite outrageous, actually. I'm quite surprised by the feedback. I mean, not surprised. I was genuinely warmed by it, heartened. People are receiving the show with love and exclamation. They didn't, I think they're really surprised by it. It's an old show, you know. Mm-hmm. People, you know, they used to sing We'll Rock You, Jesus Christ Superstar, which is old as well, but but not as old as this. But, you know, it's an old type show with an orchestra. We've got the CSO, for goodness sake. So people are just overwhelmed by the beauty of it. Yeah. And there's all that. There's the set, the music, the lighting, the sound, the performances, the acting, the singing, there's Emily Burns.
And I've been so pleasantly surprised by how people of all ages have received the shows as well. Like, I've come out after the show and seen kids as young as like five who come up to me and been like, we love this show. Like, and they knew a lot of the songs as well. I think that's what surprised a lot of audience members too, is that they know so many of the songs. They go in thinking they know maybe two or three, but they really are like clapping along and enjoying a lot of the numbers. Which
they're only clapping
fantastic.
On, luckily, in the curtain call, aren't they? Not in the middle of your solo.
Well, it definitely happened a little bit to me when I started reading about the show and everything. And I was like, yeah, I definitely have, you know, pop culture-wise heard the name My Fair Lady. Probably didn't associate it with the story or anything like that. Definitely happened to me in the show. I was like, I've definitely heard this song. Mm-hmm. I know this other song as well. And of course, the most direct pop culture reference, I think, for everybody that is in my same boat was Pretty Woman. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. the movie with Julia Roberts, which is mostly based on this story as well. Mm-hmm. So for people who have not seen the play yet, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So the play follows Eliza Doolittle, and she's a flower girl on the streets of London. And then she is come across by Professor Higgins, who's played by Michael Lee Porter next to me, and he's fantastic, so amazing, and such a joy to work with him. And he makes a bet with his friend Colonel Pickering that he could transform Eliza into a lady that could go to a ball dressed as a duchess in 6 months' time. So we get to witness this journey that Eliza goes on, and it's so much fun to be able to play her because at the beginning of the show, it's a full-on Cockney accent. The physicality is like very low to the ground. And then by the end of the – actually, it's by the end of the first half, really. Eliza is, you know, speaking like classic Julie Andrews, and she's wearing beautiful dresses. Yeah. So as a character, that's it's so much fun to play. Yeah. And the journey for Higgins as well is actually pretty amazing too. Like, he's changed throughout the musical, which a lot of people come in knowing that Eliza is going to change, but then they're really surprised by how much Henry is affected by having Eliza in his life as
yes,
well.
So I think that's true. It's actually a play about Henry Higgins. It's totally a play about Henry Higgins. I mean, it's about his journey from being, you know, not needing anybody to going, oh, yeah, it's all right. She can be my friend, I don't mind.
I guess. Yeah.
That's what the play's about. If anyone's out there wondering, it's, thank you.
My Fair Henry Higgins.
Well, actually, Pygmalion is about Henry Higgins because Pygmalion is Henry Higgins. Pygmalion's not about the woman.
Right.
Pygmalion's the guy.
There you go.
So, yeah, see, it is about him. Sorry, Emily, to bust your bubble.
Did everyone hear that sigh?
Are you rolling your eyes, Emily?
Yes. My eyes are in my forehead right now.
Love you.
It's the original story, right? So. So, yeah, talking about the things that we were saying about the pop culture and now what you were just saying about what the movie's about, there's all another pop culture thing that comes into mind. I don't know if you guys remember this movie, She's All That, I think it's the name. It's basically the same premise in high school and some guys make a bet about making it, like the ugliest woman in girl in school, the prom queen.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Pop culture, right? This is a very famous story and yeah. It has done in a lot of different places. So, Emily, you play Eliza Doolittle. What an amazing performance. It was absolutely... Just what you were describing now is exactly what I felt. You know, the beginning being like all rough and marking the cockney.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
No, it's absolutely amazing. Can you tell us how this happened to you?
Yes. So I was brought on in for the 2022. We were going to put on the show in 2022. And I have worked with the amazing director, Stephen Robertson, before. I've worked with him many times throughout my life. And also Richard Merritt, who's the musical director. So I jumped at the chance to be able to be involved with this show. I've also done shows with Showbiz Christchurch before, and they're always so fantastic. So, I got the script sent to me because I work on cruise ships. So I'm a resident guest entertainer for Princess Cruises. I got sent the script about a month before coming here for rehearsals, and I was learning the script in my cabin and learning the music. And then, I flew over from Southampton. And then the day after I arrived, we were in the rehearsal studios. And so that's how that journey has been for me. And the rehearsals were amazing. That's the journey.
So you don't reside in Christchurch?
No, not permanently. I lived in Christchurch for about 5 years. So I studied at NASDA when it was a part of CPIT, which is now ARA.
Yep.
And it's been so great to be back here because the development that's happened in those years is fantastic. Like, it's Christchurch is thriving right now, and it's a great place to be.
Yes, it is an amazing city. Mm-hmm. Are you originally from Christchurch?
No, so I was born in Tauranga, but I grew up in Queenstown, and I did shows with Showbiz Queenstown, which is where I first met Stephen, the director.
Right. Oh, okay. Do you remember which was your first performance with them?
Yes, it was Oliver.
Oliver?
Yeah, Oliver the musical.
Now, is this the first time that you're playing Eliza Doolittle?
Yes, first time.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Now, who is Eliza? What would you say is her role in this story? I know Michael's going to have a lot to say about about that as well, and Henry Higgins.
Yeah, I would love to say
about
Eliza.
Yeah.
And Emily.
But what do you feel, who do you feel Eliza is? What is her role in this story?
I feel like, obviously, she goes through this transformation and a lot of things happen to her kind of physically, her physicality. But I feel like the special thing about Eliza is the fact that what effect she has on the people around her. And it's not something that is a physical difference, but it's something that emotionally people feel like she has this effect on them. Because she's so unapologetically herself the entire time, I think people feel like they lose some of their inhibitions when they're around her. And I think for that time period, that was quite rare. Like, Eliza, when she's hungry, she's starving. When she's when she's happy, she's ecstatic. When she's sad, she's incredibly upset. And I think that's just really refreshing to be around.
Yeah, it's like a passionate freedom. She's just like not afraid of being passionate and just free with her feelings and her thoughts.
Yeah.
Wow. It's really amazing. Especially what you're saying, right? At that time, for a woman to be as free with her feelings and thoughts, it was more trying to go against what society was at the moment.
Yeah.
Very, very admirable. Yeah. Mm. So, Emily, what do you think about the themes of the story and their relevance to today's woman and society?
I think following along with what I just said, I think that those challenges that women were having at that time, they're still prevalent today. So I think the themes of not being afraid to have a voice and to speak up and to, as I said, not apologize for who you are and all the spectrum of emotions that people have in general, and saying what you mean and meaning what you say, and what else? I think the power of language, the power of learning how to communicate how you feel, personal evolution and growth, and how much we can change throughout a lifetime, and just to embrace all of those different phases and stages, because there's beauty in every aspect, in every chapter.
Yeah, beautiful. Michael, your portrayal of Henry Higgins is absolutely on point. Such a good actor. You sometimes, right there in the play, you just want to...
<Bring my neck. laughs> Oh, that's good.
But it proves how good the performance is. Absolutely on point. Can you tell us how this happened for you?
Sure. A month and 3 days ago, I was just happily sitting in my lounge in New Zealand, in Melbourne, and my phone rang. It was Richard Barrett on the phone saying, "What are you doing at the moment?" By a series of circumstances, I'm the third Higgins for showbiz, just because of other things that have happened in the world and work and things like that.
Yes.
And so they said, "Can you get on the next plane?" So a month and 2 days ago, I was on a plane, and I just got the script before I got on, and then I made myself plane sick reading the script on the plane.
Oh, no.
And then that night I came to rehearsal. So that was a month and 2 days ago. So that's my journey of getting here. Usually it's not like that when you do a show.
Yeah.
You know in advance when you're doing it. You may audition for it and get the script and learn about it. The last time I looked at the script was 22 years ago when I did the show at the Court Theatre here in Christchurch.
Right.
With Richard Merritt.
Yes.
So it was in the back of my head, but I didn't play Higgins. I never dreamed of playing Higgins. So suddenly here I was playing Higgins, and I was on the rehearsal floor. So that's my journey of getting here. But then rehearsals came, and it was a very short rehearsal period for basically 3 weeks, and then there was a tech week. Very intense, and lots, as you can probably remember, there were a lot of things he says. He talks nonstop.
Yes.
There's like an hour and 10 minutes of him talking.
It is a lot of time.
I still have to run through the text every day before I do the show. I set aside an hour and 10 minutes, and I cut out everyone else's lines, and I just have my lines in order.
Yes.
And all the lyrics of the song, just to make sure that in my head for that night, because they're all still fresh. My brain just can't, it just needs to be reminded what's there. So he talks so much that, yes. So it's still my process of how I'm getting to there today, is to run the lines every day before the show.
Yeah.
And even during the show, I run the songs while things are happening, just because they're so wordy.
Yes, of course.
So it's a very technical, it's the technical boring part of being an actor. But then we get out on stage and it's just pure joy.
Yeah, and saving the day at the last minute, which is great.
Not saving the day, it's just your job. You just turn up and do it.
That's awesome.
And you hope that you can get the lines out. And amazingly, they seem to just come out.
Right.
Which is a joy. And so now we can have fun.
So I take it you reside in Melbourne. Are you from Australia?
No, I'm originally from Tomaranui,
okay,
up in the North Island. Mm-hmm. And then I came to Christchurch in 95 to go to ASDA, as it was back then, which became NASDA, where I was a lecturer as well.
Right.
So Christchurch is also my home, but I live in Melbourne.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned working with showbiz before and working... I don't know if this was with showbiz in this show or
with
this script.
No, this was at the Court Theatre.
At the Court Theatre.
First time, 22 years ago. That was, I think, my first full show with Richard Merritt. He MD'd that show at the Court Theatre, musically directed it. But I'd worked with Stephen a couple of years before in Dunedin on West Side Story. So, but I'd known them from showbiz, Starry Nights concerts and things like that. I'd done a lot of concerts with them.
Yes.
So I've worked with both of them before, and I adore them. They're great people.
Right. And when you were involved in My Fair Lady the last time, what was your role on that?
I played one of the Cockneys, Jamie, and a butler, and a million other roles that you play when you've got a small company at the Court Theatre.
Yes.
And that was with George Henare as Higgins, and the Ellie Harper as Eliza, who came to opening night with my husband, which was amazing.
All right. Well, I think you were bound to play Henry Higgins at some point. So there you go. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
So who is Henry Higgins, in your opinion, Michael? And what is his role in the story?
Well, he's a tricky one. I mean, we sort of did a little bit of research. Anne, she plays my mother, is a dear friend of mine from when I met her 22 years ago doing My Fair Lady. So we've been friends for 22 years. So she plays my mum. And we figured out that where's his dad? And we think his father died when he was young. And based on the character that George Bernard Shaw based Henry Higgins on, that real-life person lost his father about age 13. And so he's a bit of a mummy's boy. Mm-hmm. And that time in England, and that's sort of where he's become. He's sort of very looked after and coddled. And he doesn't really have any respect for anything else but himself. He's a bit focused. Like, he's so focused on teaching language and phonetics, and he loves language, that he doesn't really understand the people around him.
Yes.
And that makes him quite lonely, and he thinks he can get along without anybody. Well, it's not true. We all need someone. And I think the point of Eliza coming into his life is, yes, he gives her the gift of speech, but she gives him the gift of being able to open up and be able to express himself. And by the end, he's a mess. Like, he's really bearing his emotions and becomes a real human, one that we can almost like. Almost. From the beginning, we're like, what is this idiot? But by the end, yeah. So Eliza changes him for the good.
Yeah, you can definitely see that character arc during the show, especially with what you were saying about the freedom that Eliza imparts in the people around her, right?
That's right. She's infectious.
Yeah. And she just kind of like breaks this logic seal that is in Michael Higgins, right? That doesn't let the emotions come out. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's interesting, and if you look at the movie, like, Rex Harrison's divine in the movie. But when I stepped on the rehearsal floor, Stephen, the director, said to me, I don't want you to be Rex Harrison. I went, good, because I can't be Rex Harrison because he's amazing. Mm-hmm. So that was a good place to start, is, okay, let's not be Rex Harrison. And I said, well, let's play him my age. And he says, yes, I want you to absolutely play your age. I don't want you to age him up or anything like that. So that's sort of how it developed. It just became, it just worked out on the rehearsal floor that he was just someone like me who had trouble connecting with other people, who needed to learn how to connect. And through the process of Eliza, I just rolled my eyes, she helps him. And I think it's the scenes towards the end when he's with his mother and Eliza, who put him in his place. He really gets put in his place when he's being a silly little brat, that he finally realizes he does need her. He accepts that he needs her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to come and see the play, see if he gets her or not. And that's another thing, is the interpretation of the ending. What's amazing is, someone said, I'm glad that Eliza comes back to him. And someone says, she hasn't come back to him. She's left. So this is the audience are saying, no, she stayed. No, she left, which is great. People are talking about the ending. They interpret it differently.
Yes, of course.
How did you interpret the ending? Well, did she leave or did she stay?
I interpreted by thinking that she came back, but kind of like to a different situation, to a different person.
Because that's good that you've interpreted again differently. Yes. Like, in our heads, she's come back and said, thank you. I've learned so much of you. I love you, but I don't need you. I'm going out in the world on myself. That's what we in our heads are. But we're not hitting you on the head. We haven't changed any of the lines.
Yes.
And what you interpret from that is up to you. And that's great.
Yeah.
Because anyone can take their own thing away from it. My dear old friends came in their 80s. I went, I'm so glad she came back to him. It's like, I couldn't have the heart to tell her that she didn't. And that's fine. There's the different ending of the story, which makes it great. You know, theatre that can cork up, create conversations with people, and they interpret something different, is really neat.
Yeah, it creates the conversation, right?
So good on you, Stephen. Whether he meant for that to happen or not, it's up to the audience to choose, which is neat.
Yeah.
You're listening to Plains FM 96.9. This is a featured interview of the show My Fair Lady, brought to us by Showbiz Christchurch. So this brings me to another question that I had in mind. I heard you mentioning a little bit about it, but I would like to maybe elaborate a little bit more and ask you as well, Emily. With all of the different performances that had already been done with these characters, what do each one of you feel like you brought unique to your characters? So if you want, we can start with you, Emily. What do you think you brought unique to Eliza?
I feel like I'm similar to Eliza in the way that I'm quite emotional as well. So I will feel things 100%. So by the end of the musical, both Michael and I have tears in our eyes because, so yeah, I think that's been really fun to play with, is having permission. And because the space in which we work, just in terms of the director, the fellow cast members, like, I've worked with so many people in that room and in this show that I feel so safe. I feel incredibly safe. And that means that we can feel free to play. And it really has been a collaborative process. So that's been something that I've really enjoyed. And just, if I can talk about the team backstage as well, just really quickly.
Yes, of course.
Honestly, the people that are involved in this show, you can see from their faces, like, every time we come off stage, their joy, their passion. Like, it's so nice to be a part of a community like this one. Like, everyone works so hard from the day of, like, planning and through rehearsals, and then to just be able to share the experience of actually putting this show on, because it's been 3 or 4 years, is so rewarding and such a joy to be a part of. But yes, going back to, sorry, sidetracked again.
No, don't worry.
There's just so many things I want to say. Like, this, the entire team is incredible.
And you can definitely tell when you go to see the production, you can tell this team is a well-oiled machine. They all care about the production that they're putting on together. Yeah.
Yeah, and we care about each other as well. And that's going back to the rehearsal room. Like, yeah, just feeling safe to play. That's been so fun. And yeah, just the direction from Stephen as well throughout the process has been amazing. Like, you can sometimes come into a rehearsal having ideas of how your character should play one thing, and then the director will offer a different perspective, and mm-hmm. it unlocks a whole nother world of, like, oh, wow, I didn't even see it like that. So that's been something that I've loved through this process.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And when we think about Julie Andrews and Audrey Hepburn, you've seen their portrayal of Eliza Doolittle. Is there something that you said, no, I definitely want to do this differently?
I think there are definitely nods to both Audrey and Julie that I think we wanted to keep as part of it. You know what I mean? You can't...
Tributes as well, right?
Yeah. Just like totally. Little nods here and there. Yeah. But I also feel like being able to bring yourself to a role is what makes it feel authentic and real. So I feel like I've tried to put a lot of myself into Eliza. I'm quite an energetic person, and I feel like I try to bring that with me and not be afraid of that, like, not try and get rid of myself, yes. really bringing myself, but then also using some of those Julie nods, like moments like this, like little like physicality yeah. things. Yes. And the way that Audrey Hepburn in the film, her vocal work is incredible, like in terms of her accents and all the ows and all of that. Like, I've definitely have tried to incorporate some of those. Yeah.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing. And Michael, what do you think about Henry Higgins? What do you think you've brought to the character?
It's a very similar to Emily. There's a lot of me in Henry. When I was little, my mum called me Possum because I was very mischievous. And Henry's definitely mischievous. He's a troublemaker. He's meddlesome. He loves the fact that he can, like, he's playing with, like, Eliza's father. It's like, oh, well, let's give him £10 because it'll be naughty if we do that. He can't spend five, but let's give him 10. It'll be more mischievous. He's a little shit. Excuse me. There's a lot of me in Henry. And there's also, no one may notice, but they might notice, is I do a little nod to Julie as well. if anyone can pick it up, good on you. It's just a tiny moment, but I love that moment.
Well, there you go, listeners. Is an Easter egg.
Yeah, it's an Easter egg. Find the Julie moment from Henry Higgins. It might not be from My Fair Lady too, from another show. Anyway, what brings something for me for Henry Higgins? I'm quite a sap. Like, I'm quite an emotional person, and when I watch theatre, things move me a lot. So the story of Henry towards the end really moves me. The story of Eliza growing, becoming a woman, not needing him, like, it really moves me. So that gets infiltrated into my work there as well, mm-hmm. and the fact that he needs her. And that's why the last scene, which has been beautifully done by Stephen, because in the play, it's problematic now. If we did the scene as it's written in the book, as it's done in the movie, it just feel a bit that, like, women haven't progressed anywhere in the last 60 years, but they have. And a woman doesn't come back to be verbally abused and made fun of, made to fetch slippers. But the script is the script. You can't change the script.
Yeah.
but you can change what you're doing around it. Mm-hmm. And yes. Stephen's got a beautiful way of ending the show, which I think is gorgeous. And it's really moving for both the Eliza and the Higgins. And if it's for the audience too, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But I'm moved.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of me and Higgins. Although I'm not as quite of a dick as he is. I hope I'm not. Am I?
No.
Too much?
No, and sometimes. No, no.
So it's only through being mischievous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like this script is sarcastic. Like, it's funny. It's not meant to be taken incredibly seriously.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's really cool as well, and that's fun to play as actors. But also going back to the relationship thing, it's interesting that the effect that they have on each other and then the power balance that shifts. Mm. And that can apply in any relationship, whether it's male, female, male, male, female, female, and in friendships as well. Because it's not in your face a romantic relationship either. Like, there are hints at it, and there's kind of like an... there's a chemistry there for sure. But I think it also says something about what relationships should be and what they should feel like for both people in the relationship.
Yeah, he talks about her soul. Mm. And I think that's the thing. He's now found a soulmate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what he has now got in his life. He's found a soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what he will miss if she goes. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And they're quite tempestuous. And as she said, the power shifts, and there's the one scene in the conservatory when Eliza and Higgins continually have the upper hand over each other and continually cut each other underneath and smack each other back, not literally, figuratively. And it's a wonderful scene. I love that. And the most amazing thing is last night I had enough time to be calm in the scene. I could just look off stage and I could see all the cast. Not all the cast, there's lots of them, in the wings, watching that scene, which is just like, just warmed my heart. Mm-hmm. That, you know, because the cast don't have anything to do for the last 20 minutes of the show, because it's all Henry and Eliza.
They get to D-mic early.
Mrs. Higgins. But it was wonderful that the cast are there actually, as you said, supporting. There's the cast, there's the crew, all watching that scene.
Yes.
Which is a glorious piece of writing. It's so gorgeous.
Yes.
Good on you, Lerner and Lowe, for turning Bernard Shaw's text into this gorgeous piece of theatre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're lucky to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would like to come back a little bit to one thing that Emily mentioned, and I think it's actually quite relevant and important to note. The characters are written as a caricature of each other, right? They have exaggerated traits. It's everything like very ironic, very sarcastic. But so was it hard to understand and separate the comedy of the show from the importance of its message?
I think that we didn't even realize how funny it was until we had an audience, really, didn't we?
I've seen it before, and I remember it being really funny. And when I did it, it was funny. But when you're rehearsing it, you don't have people laughing in the room, so you don't play for laughs. You don't. Yeah, you're right.
No, and that's the thing, is that we are saying these lines honestly, and we're taking it very seriously. You know, like, and there's an innocence in that is funny and charming, and I think that's what makes it funny.
Yes,
that's exactly
right. We're not trying to be.
I mean, the play's quite tragic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a Chekhov. Chekhov's funny because it's about real people and they don't really understand the situation. And that's, I sound like Ross Gumbly. but it is. It's these real people in a situation which is a little bit tragic because they're not very happy at the end. They're not extremely happy, but they have become better people.
Mm.
But through that journey, because the moments are real, the situations they're in are funny.
Yeah.
So we definitely don't play the comedy. We just do it in real moments. And if people laugh, that's a bonus. But we certainly don't go, they got a laugh last night, Emily. Let's do that again. Because that's bad acting.
Yeah.
That's just milking it, as we call it.
Fan servicing. Yeah.
And we don't need to do that because the text does the work. And if we're honest to the text, that's what going to drama school does to you. Yeah. Makes you stay honest to the text.
And the supporting cast, like characters like Alfie, Harry, Jamie, Mrs. Higgins, like they all are so energetic and funny as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way that the script's written, it has given these characters like real beautiful moments where they can have like these lines that are so, they just hit so well.
They just have to say the line and one will just go, wah!
Yeah, because of the way the script's been written. Yeah.
Thank you,
yes,
Lerner and Lowe.
Yeah.
And George.
Yeah, and George, yeah.
Wow, yeah, absolutely amazing story. Very good writing. Now, we have been giving them a lot of the credit in the writing and everything, but I noticed something in the show which I don't particularly remember from the movie version. I may be wrong, but I noticed a specific nod to women's suffrage. just a little nod in one plaza scene with women just going about with the boats and anything. Was this added in? Was there some, was this a nod that was made by Showbiz in this version? Or is there anything else that is different about this version?
I don't know if there's anything in the script that says that. But because it's Edwardian London, that's 1912, the play set in, that movement was strong then. So I think Stephen, just being a clever director, was like, what can I have to fill the stage at this point?
Of course.
So at one point he says Salvation Army crossing the stage. Yes, Sarah Gwynne crossing on a bike at one point. I was like, oh, no, we'll have women in suffragette costumes.
Yes.
I think it's just all in his head. Like, Stephen's very clever.
Wow,
so he understands the era and what would have been in the era. And so he's that's what he's good at, details. He's got all these details that happen, his crowd scenes and people doing stuff. Mm. It's all clever in Stephen's head.
Mm.
So, it's not part of the script. I don't think it's a...
No, it's just a way to transport people to the time. And
I don't think it was any specific hitting on our head saying, oh, we just did that bloody woman. Now we'll show them it was women's suffrage.
Yeah.
I don't think that was any part of the consideration. I just think it was, this was the era in London, 1912. Mm-hmm. There were women suffragettes who marched the streets. And it's a really colourful thing to have there. And just to go, yeah, Henry Higgins.
Yeah.
Not that he sees it, but
I don't think yet another tool.
That was the era.
Yeah, yet another tool to make the stage feel alive. Yeah,
we're in Edwardian London.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is another colour that's in that. You know, we've got the Cockneys and we've got Feisty Eliza and we've got the flower sellers and we've got the rich people going to the opera.
Yes.
And we also have the Salvos and the Sallys. Salvos in Australia. And we have the suffragettes, which is neat to have there.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to make a little special note to... There was this one scene, I believe it was the start of the second act, when they are in the ball. The stage was just absolutely insane with all of the lights coming out from the back, so you can just see the silhouette of the actors and everything with the blue background, and it's just so amazingly beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've
got this LED, I don't know what it's called, a cloth or something. It's a giant LED screen made of hundreds of little LED screens.
Yes.
Which Dave Sparks and Stephen Robertson so imaginatively and cleverly design. I'm just astounded at how Stephen and Dave make that thing work. It's always beautiful, whatever he does, and so in the moment, but in the ball, it looks so 3D and it's so beautiful.
And it's in complete contrast to the opening scene in the first act as well, which is what's so
drab,
cool.
Drab London.
Yeah.
The beauty, it's just those two are so clever with that technology.
And you get to see both sides of London, which is so cool. You know what I mean? The audience is transported to that, like, street side of London, and then also the elegance and the royal, regal
money
aspect of London and England. And, you know, and we love that stuff. Like, as audiences, we love being transported to different worlds. And I think that that's what the whole creative team has done so well with this show.
Yes. Well, of course, like, the acting is absolutely top notch, but the stage and the costumes and all of this is just what gives it the sparkle of the life. And I just wanted to ask you guys, can you tell us a little bit about the creative team behind the show?
Yeah, you missed that.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk for hours. These people are incredible and we're so lucky to have them in New Zealand, and they are New Zealanders and they're just so clever and they give so much of themselves to every single production that they do, and they work together a lot. So, and that's talking about Harold set design, David Bosworth who's on production, and Stephen Robertson, director, Richard Merritt, Glenn, the choreographer, the entire wardrobe department. Like, these are people that have worked together since the 80s and 90s, you know? So, as you said, they are like a well-oiled machine. And, it's just such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to work on shows with them.
It's quite amazing. I mean, Christy, who does the props, she makes the props for Showbiz. Like, she's an external person they use. And the Court Theatre use her to make props as well. And that's, I think, Katharina is the liaison at Showbiz in charge of props. But Christy's made things. I think she come back in with these beautiful things that look like they're antique phonographs and things like that. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. And they're all fake. You know, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful work. Everyone is so clever who doing the jobs that they do. And we've got Ben and Megan on sound.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous sound design for the show, which this show needs, because it sounds acoustic. And it's the symphony orchestra. Goodness me, the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra sounds so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We have a harp, a live harp.
Yeah.
Whoa, we hardly ever have that in musical theatre these days because it's too costly. So to have a 25-piece orchestra with Mr. Merritt, at the helm. We're very lucky. And yeah, and the beautiful costumes done with Linda and Sarah in charge of the costumes.
And wigs.
And wigs and hats. Oh my goodness. It's just sumptuous. Absolutely sumptuous. We're so lucky.
And they'll go in at 3 p.m. on a show day and go in and work on all of the wigs, set them for that night's performance.
Wow.
So yeah, the hours and dedication that go into putting on a production like this, it's a lot. And yeah.
So many aspects. And you've got Grant Robertson with his lighting design operated by wonderful Daz, who just is always there and on point and on cue with everything.
Yeah.
It's just so many aspects all together, all the backstage crew.
And there are people pushing that house on stage. Like, people forget that, like, it looks so seamless from the front. And there's a team of people that are there the whole show, 3 hours, they're pushing, pulling.
You're saying that's not on hydraulics? Yeah. Oh, I'm disappointed. Oh, you've spoiled the magic for me. Oh, Emily, I like hydraulics.
Isn't that a button?
Oh.
No, it's absolutely amazing. And you can, it translates absolutely amazing, the whole production value that all of the team puts into this amazing performance. It's absolutely top-notch, amazing, really, really highly recommended. So for all of our listeners here, just make sure that you go to this amazing show. It reopens tomorrow, Tuesday the 26th of September, and it runs until Saturday the 30th. One show per day, except for Saturday the 30th, where there's going to be a matinee as well. Now, we have Emily playing Eliza Doolittle for the show until Wednesday night. On Thursday, we have Laurel Gregory starting to play Eliza Doolittle until Saturday the close. This is the show that Showbiz is running at the moment. Please, of course, keep your ears peeled to this station to see which is the next show that Showbiz is going to be running. We're going to be covering it here as well. And just as before, we're going to be giving some free tickets for them. Okay, so keep your ears here. And again, Emily and Michael, thank you very much for being in the studio. Any last words that you want to give to our listeners?
Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely. And thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. This has been a joy.
You've been listening to a Plains FM featured interview, keeping you in touch with what's happening in our Canterbury community.